The living people have messed with the dead here a lot. In really negative ways. That was a mistake.
I'm so excited. I don't think we've ever done that. Well, we did when we first started.
Yeah, when we first started. That's why I wanted to do this, because when I was looking back at some of the other, our old videos, like our number two, episode two, and then the other one we did too, it was, we each covered one and the other one didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was kind of fun that way.
Yeah, I did too.
It's hard to do two in one time,
especially because of all our side quests that we go on.
Right.
It ends up being like a 4-hour episode.
Yeah. Because I know we used to record. We wouldn't even start till like 7:30 or 8. And then we would go till like 10.
Yes.
I'm like, we're done recording. I'm saying to Greg, we're done recording. He's like, I'm in bed.
I'm so glad we changed that. I'm so glad we changed that.
Yeah. I do. I am too.
Especially because towards the end, we'd both be yawning. And
I know. I know. It'd be like, well, it's 10:30 and my bedtime is 9:30.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's been great. I'm going to go sleep. Like literally just walked right upstairs to bed.
Yep. I just do that too. This is, for those of you listening, it's Sunday at 10:48.
Yes.
So we're awake. And
not PM.
AM. Yes. Not PM. No, I will be fast asleep at 10:48 PM.
Same. Yeah.
For sure.
Don't come for me. Don't text me, even though my phone's on silent, so I never hear it anyway, but I am asleep
out like a light.
We haven't even started, and we already had like 5 tangents.
Yeah, it's already been nearly half an hour since we locked down. That's okay. We just bitched for a little while, and then we started over, and then we started over again. In the episode number two, the audio one is not this bad, but the video version, back then I was not really editing the video versions. I was just putting them up there. So everything was left in, even like, did you turn on your Audacity? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
All of it was still in there. And so I watched the video version the other day. And I'm like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. I'm going to re-edit this.
Yeah.
Because we talked for 18 minutes, I think, just shooting the shit. And then we're like, well, I guess we should start. And we laughed about that. Ha ha. I guess we should jump right in. And then we started and then gabbed for another 14 minutes before we actually started talking about the Dead Files.
That sounds right on track.
Yeah. So I would be re-editing
that. Hasn't changed in 4 years.
Yeah.
That has not changed.
Right.
But the editing has gotten better. So you all listeners don't hear that.
That's right.
You think we just come in and sit down and get right to it.
That's right. It does not go like
does
that.
Does not happen.
No.
That is absolutely false.
I don't believe that's ever happened.
If it would happen, I think we would both be concerned.
It would be weird because it would be like, why doesn't she want to actually talk to me?
Like, are you mad at me?
Let's just jump right in. Yeah.
What? No. What is this?
No.
Is the world
we got to shoot the shit for a while before we start.
For sure.
For sure.
Even though we talk daily. Like, it's not like we chat daily on WhatsApp. It's not like this is the only time we talk to each other.
Yeah. It still feels like I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know.
Because it's been a little over 2 weeks. Yeah.
Like we're chatting, like we chatted for this morning.
Yeah.
So.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay. Should we 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
Yes.
Then it'll really feel like we're starting.
We're really starting now.
Really, truly starting. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again. Well, when trying to decide what series to do next, we asked you, our listeners, and you guys suggested recapping the Dead Files episodes that are alien related, which, as we all know, is Amy Podcaster's favorite ones. but when we looked for an episode to do, we realized we'd already recapped them all. There were no new ones left for us to do.
No.
No, we don't.
When we were going... starting this, I thought what we could do is sort of recap our episodes where we covered mm-hmm. them. So I started watching these older ones. And as I was mentioning before to Megan, that the video versions were kind of a train wreck because mm-hmm. I didn't really edit them at all. I just threw them up the way that they were. Sure. So it was a little embarrassing. But in watching them, I did see that was when we were each picking an episode and then telling the other person about it. And we weren't doing a walkthrough step by step. We just talked about in general and we just chit-chatted mm-hmm. about the episode and the mm-hmm. other person did not see the episode. And so it was a little bit more like I'm telling a story and Megan's reacting or vice versa. Right. So I thought it would be fun to do that again. And Megan's been really busy. I've been pretty busy too, but I did have enough time to do this. Though, as you'll find out, I went down a lot of rabbit holes. And I was still researching and copying pictures and stuff 5 minutes before we started.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because of that, I decided I would pick an episode uh-huh. and watch it and get ready to talk about it. And Megan can come in blind. She doesn't know what episode we're doing.
No.
I didn't tell her anything about it.
No.
So this is going to be. Yeah.
And the good news is even if she had, I would have forgotten. So.
Okay.
Did she?
So,
we don't know.
Because
I forgot either way.
I swear I told her the whole thing.
She probably did. And I just forgot it because don't do drugs. they affect your memory. I only did the weed.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm super excited for several reasons. One, I didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And two, I get to hear it like I'm one of you. So I get your perspective on it. So I'm very, very, very excited. Mm-hmm. And so I got my coffee. Because it's 11 a.m. in my KitKat mug. And here we go.
All right. So the Dead Files episode I chose is called Death Valley.
So nice. Happy.
Oh, yeah.
Title. Sure.
All sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
Well, there's some sunshine because it takes place in the middle of the desert.
That's true. I mean, it's only sunshine there.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. Lots of wind.
And sometimes a horse with no name.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And this one was from season 2. It's episode 19. And it aired May 17th, 2013. There's at least one suicide. We don't really go into it. And so I just wanted to mention that. And then I have a little like note here that I thought would be something that we can throw in every time we have something that's like a trigger sort of thing about suicide. So here it is. Yes. If today's conversation brings up anything difficult for you, please remember you don't have to handle it alone. In the U.S., you can call or text 988 or text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741 or the word SHOUT, S-H-O-U-T, to 85258 in the U.K. to reach Crisis Text Line, where trained counselors are available 24/7. I didn't even know that existed. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is. I know we have it. I never knew the number, but I know that we have it. So
I thought we had something that was just like would set you up with, we'll connect you with, I don't know.
It's like if you're like ready to do it, there's people that will talk you, hopefully.
Yeah.
Talk you away from doing that because you matter and you're important and the world is a better place with you in it. Mm-hmm. And don't listen to what your brain is telling you because your brain is drunk and you are amazing.
Yeah. Our brains do some weird shit to us.
Yeah, they do.
As Brittany, our therapist friend, says, it's not lying to you. It just doesn't understand. It's not like being mean to you on purpose. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't understand.
Yeah.
The only housekeeping I have here is that we may be taking a break in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what our lives are going to look like as far as what we are going to be required to do here and there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try. And I do have some backup ideas. If we aren't able to meet and do this, like maybe I'm definitely going to edit some of the old videos. So maybe it'll be like, we'll just release those again or something.
And if you're like me, you've forgotten them. So it'll be like a brand new episode.
I mean, I forgot them too. I was like, God, we were funny. I don't even remember that. I don't even remember recording that one.
We are hilarious and humble.
So I don't know what we're doing next week. We'll figure it out. I'm going to guess we're going to just kind of flounder around a little bit. Maybe Megan will watch one and tell me about it. I don't know. And then we'll start up with another series after that once we get our feet back under us. But it's been a little bit of a crazy ride here.
Yeah. I mean, it's spring. We've got spring cleaning to do. I've got some other stuff we'll talk about in the sideshow.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's spring in Minnesota. So we're enjoying finally some opening the house for some fresh air.
Yes.
And all that comes along with that.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, enjoy the show.
All right. So here we are.
Here we are.
Death Valley.
Okay.
I did not know much about Death Valley. If you want to, you can. I did put some pictures in the episode notes that I wrote. Because I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, Megan hasn't seen this episode. Unless you watched it at some point. But I'm like, you probably won't remember it. But that way you can sort of see what we're dealing with here. So there's a picture there of what you see is kind of like a U shape. And that is the Amargosa Opera House and Hotel.
Mm, okay.
The town is called Death Valley Junction. It is 90 miles from Las Vegas, and it is 5 miles from the Nevada border. So it's very close. The town very next to it is in Nevada, but this is in California. Less than 20 people live in the town.
Holy crap. And there's an opera house and a hotel?
Yeah. It used to be a booming town. And we'll get to that. There is so much. I'm getting a chill right now. There is so much about this town, this place, this property. The woman who owns it, it's a fucking wild ride.
Okay.
The episode itself, here, there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some cool stuff happens. You know, Amy made some funny faces.
Plus it's season two, so like they're still, you know, figuring their, getting their feet.
I mean, it was done well. It's just that there weren't like any really crazy spirits or anything. And I don't know. I mean, it was a good episode. But the shit I found out about
it. Do we know how far it is from Area 51?
It is pretty close. I don't know exactly how far, but when I was doing some of the research and looking for like, I was very confused about what the town was called. It turns out the property that this place is on is the town. That's all. Everything you see here is plus more because that's 268 acres.
And that's the town.
And that's the town. And so you see the hotel and then you see some outbuildings. And then
and
you
nice
see
little
some
lake or pond or whatever.
I think it's like a reservoir of some kind.
What's the difference between how does one get classified as a lake versus a pond?
I don't really know. Size maybe?
Yeah.
Depth? I don't know. But this is the middle of the desert, so I'm guessing that's man-made.
Oh, that's fair.
I've got a little update. The primary difference between a pond and a lake is depth and sunlight penetration, not just size. Ponds are shallow enough for the sunlight to reach the bottom, allowing rooted plants to grow throughout. Lakes are deeper, featuring an aphotic zone, means without sunlight, and generally a larger, colder, and more stratified environment.
Yeah, so, that's a good point.
It's probably the water that, you know, goes into the hotel.
Yep.
So then there's some little houses back there, which used to be where people lived. I don't think anybody lives there now. It's possible they do, but I'm not sure.
Is this still like a functioning opera house and hotel?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And there's
I'm asking the questions that our listeners can't.
That's right. So anyway, you could see I put some other pictures of the opera house.
I'm only going to look at the pictures when you tell me to, because I don't want to like read the script ahead of time and know what's happening.
As you're looking at that picture, the bigger building on the far right of the photo, that's the opera house.
The white one?
Yeah, the one that's more white, the taller. And then the row going out of that is the hotel.
Okay.
That long piece down there is what used to be dormitories for the miners in this town.
Got it.
And it is closed off. It's closed to the public.
Okay.
And we'll find out about that area in a little bit. That's where most of the shit goes down.
So is this like a gold rush town?
Sort of, yes. Okay. It was a mining town. They mined borax.
Sure.
Which I thought was a laundry detergent, but it's a mineral that laundry detergent is made out of.
Interesting. Washing. Look, the more you know.
It's made out of. Yeah. As Steve's in the car explaining what's happening or where he is, we get a ring shot, of course.
Of course.
And then Matt goes in and does his cover, and he had a lot of things to cover. Oh, my God.
I'm sure. Well, it's an opera house and a hotel, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm sure most of the decor is like the past stuff, the history of the place.
It is. And that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Because, the woman who owns it basically painted every wall surface, murals, pictures. And poor Matt, he didn't cover everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he covered the important stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like, I have to cover.
He's like, I don't have enough shit to cover this wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a break, guys. This is more work than I've done in the first season combined.
Yeah. Well, we first see Amy when she gets out of the car. First thing she says is, I don't even know where to start. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, boy.
Coming in hot, Amy. Coming
and you can
in
scroll
hot.
Down and see her face there. She was like, okay.
God, she has the best faces.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's like, God damn it.
Yeah. And then that's first guy we see is Rich. He is he's the caretaker of the property. He's a director of the property. He lives there with his girlfriend, Mary Lee, who is an assistant director. And he says he made a promise to the founder that he would carry on her legacy. Her name is Marta Beckett. She's 88. And they show a bunch of photos of her. And I'm typing this as I'm watching it. And I'm like, she appears to be a dancer or a painter at minimum. Mm-hmm. We'll find out a lot more about her later. The property has 268 acres. And I've got more on that in the research and rabbit holes. I feel like I want the recap to be 5 minutes and the research and rabbit holes for an hour because there's so much.
I mean, maybe it will be.
There's
maybe
so
it will
much
be.
There.
Yeah. We might need to refill our coffee for the
I know. I was thinking about that. Is this going to last me the whole way? I'm already here.
Oh, I'm already here.
We might have to take a coffee break. So they're experiencing voices, apparitions, scratches, being touched, and they're losing their clients and people that work there. They don't want to be there.
No, not the people that work there.
Yeah. So there's not a lot. Now there's like one person that works there, I think. Actually, I think it's a little bit different. I'll tell you all about that, but it's changed.
Yeah.
Since this. This was 2013. It's changed a bit.
Oh, so 13 years. Okay.
Yeah. So the first place that Rich takes Steve to is room 14. And in there is heard voices. They've seen shadow figures at the foot of the bed, of course.
Obviously.
An old man who was staying there complained he had scratches on his arm from when he was sleeping. And Steve asked about the guy's nails. Did he have long nails? Were they long and pointy? Were they sharp?
Actually, it was Dracula, Steve. Dracula stayed.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, they were long and pointy like knives. You don't think that could be it? Would it?
No. What?
No, that can't
be. I mean, he was a werewolf and it was a full moon. So, God, Steve, I didn't even think of that. This is why you're the detective.
This is why you're here. This is why we called you.
Okay, but also I will say, like, older people, like, their skin is very thin and papery. Thin.
Yeah.
So that's not exactly a smoking gun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, like, even me, I will get scratches. And I'm like, how the hell? Like, I had scratches on my neck. I had to cover it up for an interview. I'm like, I don't even know how I got that. Is it
oh, my God.
There? I don't even know. Can you see
I can see a redness there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So I'm just saying that's not exactly a smoking gun.
Yeah.
On its by itself.
It was three scratches on the arm. Three.
Okay.
So... Yeah, I don't
know. That's a little bit more. I mean, but again, was he a werewolf or Dracula? Did you ask those questions?
Maybe he was from the vampire town.
Did he come out during the day?
Yeah.
Did his luggage
Steve
contain
did not
a
ask
coffin?
Any of those questions. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Like, yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know. So Rich also says that the maids will change the sheets and then come back. And it appears that somebody has been sitting on the bed. There's a depression in the bed and like handprints. And Steve says, do you think it's some of the staff just kind of fucking with you guys? And he said, I thought about that, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
So then Amy goes to that room, too. She sees a woman who goes in all the beds. Mm-hmm. She's been here a long time. She's getting kicked. Someone is beating her face in and she's naked. And when Matt asks, why is she getting beat up? What's going on with her? She says she's dirty. She was doing drugs.
I'm immediately thinking like maybe some kind of sex worker and her John. Or I don't know if that's the right word for it, but.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Or not a John. Her. I don't want to say pimp.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right word.
I mean.
That was instantly like what I went.
Not for this kind of situation. I think it probably was a John, actually.
You think it was a John?
Yeah. We do find out that this was a sex worker. Mm-hmm. So now we're moving on to Spooky Hollow, which is that section I talked about before that was a dormitory.
The big long one?
Yep, it's the big long one that's like coming off the side of the hotel. So this is not open to the public, Rich says, except for they
don't
do allow people in there to do investigations.
No.
Yep.
I knew you were, as soon as you said, except for, I'm like, don't say investigations. Don't say it.
Yep. So
great.
I know. And we do find out, I'll give you a little spoiler from Research and Rabbit Holes. You know who was here?
Our bestie.
3 years earlier than the Dead Files. So they came before, and then Dead Files came in 2013.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And Rich says he senses an overwhelming male energy and makes him very uncomfortable. And he lets paranormal people come back there. Steve goes, what do you mean paranormal people? And he's like, well, people that want to do their own investigations, or they just want to have an experience or
Amy's not
whatever.
Like that.
Mm-mm. And Steve goes, you know, this might be making it worse. And he goes, yeah, maybe. I think maybe. And I'm like,
so then stop.
Then stop fucking doing it. Yeah. He had a friend that came in and wanted to investigate, and he let her in to do that. She asked for a sign. And she ended up with 3 large scratches across her back.
I'd say that's a sign. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Big scratches across her back that were starting to bleed. It was actually drawing blood.
That, to me, I would call that a stop sign.
I'd call that a get the fuck out sign.
Yeah. Call that a
stop. Stop doing what you're doing.
I call that an exit sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Amy then goes in that spot. She sees this man who hates living people. He's very much in charge of things.
I mean, kind of same some days.
Yeah. Right?
Can relate.
Can too. She feels like the living are fucking with him.
Kind of sounds like they are.
Yeah.
No wonder he hates them.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, and we talk about that in the reveal too. And this other woman that works there, his girlfriend, she's like, I knew that was a bad idea. I knew you shouldn't let people do that.
Yeah. Go on, Mary Lee.
Yeah. Amy gets a really creepy look on her face and she says,
he can take your breath away.
I don't like that.
Yeah. He's a real creep.
Yeah. I don't like that.
She says she feels a fear in her stomach and he has been tortured by the living. Amy can tell that it's been investigated a lot and they do a real close up on her and she goes, that was a mistake.
The living people have messed with the dead here a lot. In really negative ways.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Amy, at any point she sees, I started to do this, like, these are all the spirits Amy sees and list them. But then I was like, I want to do the back and forth because it shows like, they talk about this thing and then Amy comes in and experiences that very same thing. And so I wanted to keep it like that.
Yeah.
But she does see many people dying. They can't breathe. They're being suffocated. And Yep. And she hears.
And somebody said, we walk upon the bodies of the dead and their souls too.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's very like Stephen King.
Yeah. This is. I don't know why a movie has not been made about this.
Mm-hmm.
This. I mean, there is a documentary, which we'll get to because I watched it. But the story behind this woman who had this place, her life story should be a movie or a HBO miniseries or something. I don't know. It's fascinating. Anyway, then we meet Margaret Michelle Everett, who is an artist in residence. She is a volunteer that comes in to paint signs that were there back in the day.
Like almost so, like touch up or stuff.
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
I think she recreates them. Oh, I'm not really positive. She might recreate them, but like I think she made the Armour Girl sign on the top front of the hotel. That looks pretty good, pretty nice.
Yeah, it does.
And there's some others that I've seen other pictures of that spot where it's really run down looking. So I think that's kind of what she does. She does stay overnight there because it's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Well, it takes you, true. Like, where are you
two
supposed to go?
3 hours to get there. You're not going to go home after that. She sees apparitions, she's heard voices, and she's been touched. She's
absolutely
felt,
not.
I know. She felt a menacing energy saying, "Lady, you need to get out of here right now."
Did she hear it say that?
She said she
like, or that was the energy that it got, gave off.
I think she was saying that she heard those words, but I questioned if that was her intuition saying,
right, right.
Ma'am, get the fuck out. Not as a,
yeah, like as
get
a
out
voice.
Or I'll come after you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she
but
says,
but when I hear stuff like that, I always think, how many times do I say this? Is it menacing or were you just afraid?
Right. Because you don't know what it is.
And I'm not saying it wasn't menacing. I'm just saying, like, our common, as a species, our instinct is if we're afraid, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could have been someone saying, for your good.
Yes.
Because there's icky things here. Get up.
Again, I would have felt the same exact way that she did and thought instantly, like, this is menacing. I need to leave. So I'm not, like, saying she was wrong at all. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. Either. And she's got all these, you know, she feels dizzy and nauseous and she's going to pass out. Now that along with that.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But I will say that her demeanor when she was talking with Steve about this, this was a well-rehearsed performance, I felt.
Or... devil's advocate, has she just told it many times?
It could be, yeah, it could be. But she was like doing voices and like, you know, it was she's a tour guide,
playing it up, playing
you know,
it up. Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe she's a tour guide there too or something. I don't know, she should be if she's not, because she tells
she
a good story,
going. Yeah,
she tells a good story,
yeah, spins a good yarn, if you will.
That's right, grandma.
41 going on 90. Just get my knitting needles out.
That's
just kidding.
Right.
I don't know how to knit. I've tried.
Oh, I used to knit. I can only make a scarf though, because
I can't
just go in a row.
It just goes wavy because I add stitches, drop stitches. It's just, it's terrible. It's terrible.
It's hard to remember how many.
I have
that's what
many...
the little markers are for.
Smart. I have many talents. That is not one of them.
Yeah, that's. I and, like doing it. It's fun to just fiddle with my hands, but they don't come out real great.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Okay. So now Amy is down there in Spooky Hollow too.
Sure.
She sees people asking for help. She said the hallways are crawling with dead people from a long time ago, and she feels their suffering. She can't walk. She can't move. Some people are really sick, and there are some people who are hurting themselves and some who are killing each other.
When they're dead already?
I think she's seeing that this was happening when they were alive.
Oh, okay.
And maybe they're reliving it or they're in their death state or whatever. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Either way, it doesn't sound great in any way, shape, or form.
No. No, it doesn't. So then we meet Mary Lee Chavez assistant manager.
There's a lot of Mary Lees in this.
Well, she's the only Mary Lee.
I thought there was a Mary Lee that was the artist.
Oh, no. Her name was Margaret Mitchell Everett.
Oh, why did I think? Okay.
Did mention Mary Lee before.
Oh,
she's
Mary
the girl
Lee's
friend.
Eyes are very blue. She has very pretty eyes.
She has beautiful eyes. And she was crying. It looked like she was either crying or had just finished crying.
Oh.
Every time she's on camera. They're all red. She's scared.
Yeah.
She's real scared.
Mary Lee, it's okay.
She is Rich's girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she is the assistant manager. She lives there too. Mm-hmm. She said she won't stay there in the hotel area. She lives on the property, but won't stay in the hotel. I think she lives in one of those little houses in the back.
Yeah.
Rich.
Yeah.
She sees shadows, apparitions, and says she's been channeled. And Steve asks what that means. And she said, something went through me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No. She's afraid to be there alone anywhere.
Bless her.
And it's getting worse. And she's afraid to tell Rich how scared she is because she's afraid of being seen as a chicken.
Mary Lee.
I know. Yeah. So I'm glad she was able to open up.
Me too. Did he give her a hanky?
No. It was only season two. I don't think they were doing that yet.
Oh, poor Mary Lee.
Yeah. So then Amy says the people in the basement might feel like they're out of body or not themselves, which I guess is a connection to her saying she was channeled.
Channel. I was just thinking that, yeah.
Digging through the archives.
Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the haunted lounge.
So now we're in the investigation, and this area has a rich mining history.
Sure.
Steve talks to local historian and park ranger Bob Greenberg.
Bobby.
So they were mining borax. They had small mines, and they only the mines were only about 4 feet wide. Yeah,
he's and really sunglasses. Yeah.
It gets to be 120 degrees there in the summer.
I mean, in Bahrain, disgusting. That's about where it was. Yeah.
Ugh.
But then you went in the desert. I remember we were in the desert. It was like 120 in the day. And in the desert, I was at night. We stayed overnight. I was so fucking cold.
Oh,
I
had
like four coats on and I was shivering. Someone was playing the bongos and I fucking hate the bongos now because I was trying to sleep and they were just fucking playing the fucking bongos.
Was it Matthew McConaughey?
No, it wasn't. Oh. I was like, I would not have hated it.
That would have been okay.
I would have been like, play those fucking bongos. I'd be like, my ass identifies as a bongo.
Come over here and play those bongos.
Yeah. Yeah. My ass identifies as a bongo.
Yeah, so actually mean the drums, but yeah. Okay, so the mines were very small and only two guys could go in at a time.
My God.
And so they would throw an explosive in and then run out and then go in and get the stuff. And so they were like, they'd had to crawl and stuff like that. It was not a good job.
You had to throw an explosive and then run.
Well, put
I would be dead
and then
the
run up.
The first one.
The most of the miners didn't last more than 6 months, whether they quit or
died. Oh, my God.
So that, I think, is what Amy was seeing when she's seeing all those people that are hurting and, and suffocating. Because they're inhaling all that borax, too. That's not good.
Probably not.
No.
I'm no doctor, but.
No, we're not doctors.
Despite what.
State that again.
ChatGPT has created.
That's right. Oh, I have to show you the graphic I made with both of us as doctors.
Yes. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see it. Yes.
It's just our pictures on a black background, but.
No, I need to see it.
It's good. Bob talks about a woman named Shotgun Kitty. And I said, oh,
I love
is that her Christian name?
Yes, yes.
She
was
did
exist. Baptized.
That is not her Christian name. I do find her. I'll tell you all about her in the second portion.
It'll pop my bubble.
Right. Well, she ran a brothel and a bar.
Sure.
And she was so named because she didn't go anywhere without her gun, and she was a great shot. She basically ran the town, and all the miners and the people that would come to stay at the hotel, investors in the mine and stuff like that, they all spent their money at her bar.
Mm-hmm. Where did the kitty come from? Was her name like Catherine? Or?
Yeah, it was. It was Catherine.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
It was Catherine. She was 4'11" and weighed over 200 pounds.
Oh, boy.
So she was a shorty squatty.
She was a big old gal.
I found some pictures of her, too. 4'11", though, tiny.
That's tiny, that's literally considered like a dwarf.
I think it might be. It might, it's either 4'10 or 4'11", I think.
I thought anything under 5, but maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, could be. I know somebody who's like 4'9".
Oh, my goodness.
She's tiny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tiny. Amy sees a lot of men who are wrecks, large groups, and she feels their pain. And she hears one say, "You can move better if you crawl because your legs are useless, especially at the end of the day."
Oh, my gosh. That's terrifying.
I know. I found like she was channeling a lot in this one.
Yeah. Well, if there were that many spirits, I'm sure. And it was earlier on. So she might not have had, the blocking that she got.
Yeah. 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 Good point. Amy then sees a caretaker later, a lady. Mm-hmm. She's short and chubby.
Oh.
Guess who that is?
Who's that sound like?
Who's that? Is that you, Kitty?
It's Kitty, Kitty.
It's Kitty. Meow. She's all about business. Uh-huh. She doesn't
I'm all
like...
about that bass. From the bongos.
That's right. she doesn't like that this business is not run like her business was. Mm-hmm. And when she sees something she doesn't like, she throws a fit.
Nice.
And she makes physical contact.
Nice. Kitty's like, "This is wrong. Do it
that is
my
not
way.
How you do it. Where are all the ladies? Because aren't ladies.
There aren't enough
there.
Ladies, which is what I say daily.
Right?
Aren't enough ladies.
So Steve learns about a man named Thomas Blower. I can't remember what part of the building it was. But he was found hanging.
Oh, man.
He worked there as a janitor. And this was in 1947.
Yeah.
So it was when it was there for the mines, not the what it is now. He was 65 years old when he hung himself. He did a lot of traveling between Canada, U.S., England, and Australia.
Wide berth.
I did find out he's English. He's British. He was born in England.
Okay.
In 1930, he went from the U.S. to Canada with $2,500 in
cash.
That's
a lot of money then.
That is about $49,000 today.
Whoa. In cash?
In cash.
Just walking around?
Yeah. And Steve questions the money situation. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, "Well, he was a road agent." I had never heard that term before.
Yeah. What is
that? It's basically a highway robber.
Oh, sure.
He explains that he would stop people who are traveling and take anything of value from them and then disappear.
Sure.
And Tim speculates... This is the Tim. I forgot to say his name.
The historian.
Historic explorer, Tim Francis.
Is this like our Indiana Jones guy from a few episodes
Kind of,
back?
Although you can scroll down. He's not wearing one of those hats.
Mm-hmm.
He speculates that going from highway robber to janitor is a blow to the ego enough for him to want to end his life. Whatever. Amy is now in the Spooky Hollow area, too, where this man died. He died in that area.
And... Spooky Hollow, what is that again? I'm sorry.
That's the dormitory area dormitories, and it's all cut off now, where they do all the investigations.
Okay, that's right.
And where Amy saw the angry man that runs the place.
I know you said that. I just forgot.
Yeah. No, that's okay. It's good to refresh it. It's different. I know it's different when you haven't seen the show, so you can't remember what happened. So ask questions if you're confused, because I am all over the place on this, writing it down, so hopefully I'm making sense. But
you are. I just forgot what Spooky Hollow was.
Okay. Yeah. So now Amy's talking or sees the angry man, and he is disturbing ways of showing how he hates the living.
Cool.
He had a lot
great,
of bad things.
Like, great intro, Amy. I'm so excited to hear this. Disturbing ways.
Yeah. He had a lot of bad things in his life. He wants to be respected and feared. He did whatever he had to do.
Very Machiavellian.
Mm-hmm. He did whatever he had to do to gain the power and respect from his people, and he doesn't know how to be good. I'm like, this sounds like somebody else.
Huh. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who I could be talking about.
Doesn't ring a bell for me.
She feels like he's strangling her, and they show her, and she's like, she throws her head back, and she's pulling on her neck, and it's really creepy. But she's laying there like,
gosh.
Yeah. So now we meet Marta Beckett. She is the owner of the hotel and opera house. Her story is fucking wild. However, we barely touch on her in the Dead Vows episode. They meet her for a couple minutes. You can see she's sitting in the opera house, and Steve is talking to her.
Oh, I love her. She's a cutie. A doll.
She is. She's been there for 43 years.
Look at her little sweater with her flowers. I love her.
Oh, wait till you got it. There's so much more. I am obsessed with her. So now that I know more about her.
Yeah.
And I watched a documentary about her. Oh, my God. She's not at all afraid of the place. She loves it. She did say that at night when she would be hanging up the costumes and putting them away, she would hear a voice. And she said it sounds like this. Oh. That's it.
It went like this. Oh.
That was a little anticlimactic.
Oh. And Steve is so sweet with her. But she said, another time, a maintenance man came up yelling, Marta, Marta, there's a dead man in the sewer house. And so she followed him up. He said he climbed up the ladder and found and saw this man, and he still had his glasses on, but he was dead. And she says his name was Tom Moore. And she explains that the sewer house is on the property. It's not in the same place the other Tom was found. So we got two dead guys now.
Yeah, two dead Toms.
Both named Tom.
Yeah. Tom Squared.
Yep. And then Steve asks about his cause of death, and she said it's always been a mystery. It still is.
Really?
Don't know how he died. He was there.
When did they find him? What year?
I don't even remember what year. I have it in the other section, but I don't remember. I don't think they even said. Did they?
Interesting.
Oh, he's going to talk to somebody who's going to explain it more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's next. Okay, so I threw a picture of the opera house in there for you to see. Yep,
that is beautiful.
She painted all of that. She painted all of that.
The owner did?
Yeah, Marta.
That is absolutely stunning.
It's amazing.
Wow.
It's gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah. It probably took her a day, but I was teasing.
It only took her like 4 years or something. She did the ceiling even. I can't believe
that's all? Wow. Yeah. I mean, oh my God, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the whole hotel is like that too. Mm-hmm. There's pictures all painted all along the walls of the hotel and inside the rooms. So now we meet Ted Fay. He's a documentary filmmaker. Mm-hmm. They meet in the sewer house. This is the place where this man was found.
The second Tom.
Yes, the second Tom. His name was actually William Thomas Moore, but he went by Tom. And I found the article.
He founded the paint. Isn't there a painting company called William Moore?
Maybe. I don't think he did because he was...
I know, I'm teasing.
Not like Mary Jamba of the Jamba
Mary
Juice.
Mary Jamba of the Jamba Fortune? Juice franchise. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
anyway, so he had been missing since July. This was 1976. He had been missing since July and he was found in September. So,
oof-da.
Yeah. And this guy explains that it was super hot, so...
Well, no wonder they didn't get a cause of death. He was decomposed. It's the desert.
Yeah.
Oof-de-my.
But he does say they found his billfold, but no money was taken out of it. And the autopsy cause of death was undetermined. He does say it could have been murder, but his body was too decomposed to tell. He said it could have been a gunshot.
Yeah.
Then we go to Amy, and she says she sees a man who got a gun to his head. He didn't die right away. He felt it for a while. And she said this was in the late 70s, early 80s. Death was in 1976. Yeah. And she said, he was nuts. I don't like him at all. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
All right. We're getting there. Now we're on the reveal.
Sure.
And they do this in the Spooky Hollow area. The bowels of that nasty area.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Where all of that shit happens.
Great.
Yeah. We do see her do a sketch, but that's kind of uneventful.
Well, I mean, that's
you'll see the sketch later.
Is this what you saw? Yes, that's what I saw. Great. We just covered the sketch portion.
Yeah, there was only one sketch too. I wish she had done more, but so she talked about the sick and injured men, which Steve connects to the miners, mm-hmm. but they never mention that this was an infirmary at some point mm-hmm. too for these miners. They never mention that. And it would have been, you know, that there's nothing else around.
No.
So when someone gets sick, they got to do something with them. So I'm sure it was part of the dormitory.
Or they mentioned it and cut it.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
But why would they cut that? That seems pretty...
Because it makes sense. It seems like something you should leave in.
Especially when you're talking about a haunted area.
Yeah. Because it definitely connected to...
Yeah.
Steve was connecting it to like how those men feel when they were in the mines, you know, because mm-hmm. it was so cramped and they had to crawl and all that. But I think she was also seeing the people who were, you know, sick and trying to get better whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, she talks about the woman who was beat up and drugged out.
Yep.
Steve connects that to the brothel, brings up Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy says people are getting scratched and touched. She thinks that's who she saw, only she saw her much older
mm-hmm.
from the picture.
Do
that
we know
Steve
how
had.
Old she was when she died, Shotgun Kitty?
She was born in 1886. She died in 1957.
Oh, so she was in her 80s.
Go math.
81.
Yeah. So
I think maybe. I don't I'm going to say 81. Final answer.
Okay, let's go with it.
Yeah.
Amy then sees this confrontation between two men. This is in the late 70s. One man charges another man and shoots him in the head.
Mm.
Steve connects us to William Thomas Moore,
mm-hmm.
and he shows a death certificate, and mm-hmm. she says it's possible that it's him and he was shot.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about the spooky hallway, the mm-hmm. spooky hollow, the hallway they're in
the
now.
The spooky hollow,
spooky hollow. She says this is where the living is messing with the dead.
Yep.
And you got to scroll down and see Amy's face when she, Rich says that they have been doing investigations.
Oh, she is so pissed. She is so mad. She's got the pursed lips and everything.
Yeah. Just daggers shooting out of her eyes.
I know. If looks could kill, Rich That's would be right. dead in that hallway.
She was not pleased.
Well, obviously.
No, you wouldn't be. I mean, I was mad too. And then this is where Mary Lee says, I've been telling him all along this is bad.
Yeah.
And so then Amy shows the sketch that she did, and this is of the angry men down there. You can scroll mm-hmm. and see that.
Yeah, let me look. That is so scary.
Yeah, so it's this man in the front. He's in a
black
suit
kind
of thing. And then there's a bunch of people behind him, and they're all just coming down the hallway.
I mean, his eyes are terrifying.
Yeah, he looks really creepy. And his hands are up. Like,
hands are up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They're all doing stop, you know?
That is scary. I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like it.
So,
no, thank you.
We think that's Tom Blower, the mm-hmm. one who...
The one who died by suicide. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that was a highway robber, I noted, just mm-hmm. in case. Don't forget.
No, I appreciate that.
She said he can make you feel true fear. He can reach into your mind and project out what you fear. He has no intention of leaving and is absolutely ready to fight back.
Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah. So she suggests having spiritual people come in instead of ghost hunters. If you want to have people come in.
I mean.
Let's not do ghost hunters.
Yeah, maybe.
Or ghost adventurers.
Yeah.
That's what I think she's really getting at.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
mm-hmm.
speak for her, but
mm-hmm.
so what she tells him to do is get a priest or pastor to do a cleaning and a blessing ritual. And the ghost hunting has got to stop or it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see the cards at the end. Since the investigation, Rich and Mary Lee have moved out. They no longer work at the hotel and have no plans to return.
Hmm.
And there is some
interesting
story behind that.
Yeah,
that I did find. Hi, friends. At this point, Megan and I took a quick break to refill our coffees and pee. And when we came back, we jumped right into the research and rabbit holes segment. But since this episode was already getting a little long, we decided to split it into two. So join us next week for part two, where we really dive into the story of the property and the incredible ballerina, Marta Beckett, who ran it for so many years.
And if you can't wait, come on over to Patreon, where we will be releasing it a little early for our patrons. Most importantly, if you know anything about this property, MARTA, or if you've ever visited, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com. We may share your story in the next episode. Credited or anonymous, your choice. Thanks so much for joining us.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Thanks. All right. Well, hope everyone enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know if you like us doing it this way or if you think we should go back to us both having input on a episode or switching off like we used to do.
Yeah.
Only not in one episode.
No, that was awful.
We're too old for that shit.
Ain't nobody got time for that. That was a 9-hour episode.
I know.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.